I will not double dog dare you to eat black licorice ice cream while riding a spinny ride. I like black licorice and I like ice cream. I don't think I want black licorice ice cream. I love roller coasters, but those spinning rides anymore, I can't do that. But I am going to double dog dare you again this week to pray a prayer. That's a challenge. Last week, I double dog dared you to pray, "Search me, God, and know my heart." And I don't know about you all, but I tried every time I prayed to add that in, "Search me, God, and know my heart." But this week, I double dog dare you to pray the second part of that same verse, verse 23 of Psalm 139. It's a prayer that many of us are probably afraid to pray. "Test me. Test me." Now, praying "search me" is tough, but "test me." Many will probably say, I can't do that. I hear all the time people say, "Yeah, I want more patience," or "I need more patience, but I'm not going to ask God for it because I don't know what will happen." Well, if asking for patience, we're afraid of what God might do, what happens when we say, "Test me"? And that can be a scary prayer. But I double dog dare you this week to pray, "Test me." And it's Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. This prayer, if we can pray this prayer and allow God to work in us, he will transform our lives. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And this week we look at, "Test me and know my anxious thoughts." There's something about that word, test. When I hear the word test, all the negative things come into my mind. I remember back in school when you're sitting there and the teacher says, "Take everything off your desk, put it down underneath, books, notebooks, everything. Pull out a pencil and a blank piece of paper. And as I hand this test out, you keep it face down until I tell you to turn it over." Anxiety levels increase. They tell you to turn it over and you turn around and look, and they're trying to figure out what you have learned or memorized over that learning period. I have a bad image in my mind when I think of that word test. I still remember, like it was yesterday, going to get my Class B license, and this guy in a uniform climbs in the truck with me and tells me to go through a set of obstacles and then to back into a place under his glare and critique of everything I did. Test. That just that word gives me anxiety just thinking about it. Test me, oh God. Test me. Why would I pray for God to test me if I don't like test? When I think of God testing, if I say, "God, test me," I'm thinking of Abraham. And God had Abraham take his son Isaac, whom he loved, up on the mountain. Said, "Take him up there and sacrifice him to me." I don't want that kind of test to find out if I really trust God. Now, God did not have Abraham kill his son. He provided a ram as a sacrifice. But you just go through that. Or when I think of test me, I think of my good friend Job. And if you were here the first week I was here, I shared how the first time I ever read scripture in church in public, it was out of the book of Job, and I was calling him Job, because everywhere I've been, J-O-B is Job. And Harry will not let me forget that. He reminds me of that all the time. I mean, he's just picking on me. I'm so innocent. But Job, poor Job, faced a test. It says, Satan came into the presence of God, and God asked Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And Satan basically told God, well, no wonder Job fears God. No wonder he fears you and obeys you. You have blessed him. You've given him anything he could ever want. If you brought bad against him, he would curse you. And God gave Satan permission to strike down all that Job had. And as Satan went out of the presence of God on earth, a messenger came to Job. He said, an enemy attacked and carried off all your oxen that had been plowing and your donkeys that were grazing, and killed all your servants. Right as that messenger came and gave him that information, another messenger came and said, fire fell and killed all your sheep and the shepherds. And then another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans attacked and killed all those servants and carried off all your camels. And then another messenger came and said, a mighty wind came and took out your son's house and all your children were there. Your 7 sons and 3 daughters were all killed. Who would want to face that kind of test? And as Job faced that test, he was in mourning. He was devastated. But in all the loss and all the pain he suffered physically, mentally, emotionally, Job did not stop praising and worshiping God. In Job 13:15, he says, though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. I don't know about you, but I don't want to face that kind of test to find out if I am faithful to God. Job went through so much, and in the midst of it all, he could say of God, but he knows the way that I take, and he has tested me, and I will come forth as gold. And at the end of the book of Job, God blessed him and gave him way more than what he had before, and then gave him 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. So when I hear stories like that, and I think about stories like that, it scares me to pray, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. I don't want that kind of test. God, speaking to the nation of Israel in Isaiah 48:10, said, see, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. That doesn't sound any more encouraging. I've tested you in the furnace of affliction. See, silver was refined in a furnace. It was heated up, and it had a lower melting point than the impurities. And then the impurities could be skimmed off or blown off. The story is that the metal worker, as they melted the silver, knew the silver was pure when they could see the reflection in the metal. And God tests us in the furnace of affliction. See, when things are not going well, that's when Jesus is reflected in our lives. That's when the impurities show up so they can be skimmed off. When all is going well, people say, like Satan said before God, oh, it's only because you're blessed that you can do that. It's really when we go through the affliction is when people tested in our afflictions and refined like silver or gold. We are purified by the test we face. And in those tests, we have opportunity to reflect our Savior. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 66:10, "For you, God, tested us and refined us like silver." So a test is not something that most of us enjoy, but a test can be a good place to have come from. It's a good place to have come out of. It reveals what's true about us. It reveals what may not be apparent otherwise. So I double dog dare you to pray this week, "God, test me. Test me and reveal those impurities. Test me and reveal where my heart really is." I don't like tests. But as I thought about this more realistically, tests can be pretty good. There's good things about tests. I got a letter just a couple weeks ago that told me that the water supply in Easton was tested and found suitable to drink. I'm glad they're testing that so that I know that. So you know, some tests are good. And, you know, if I go to a pool or even getting in the shower, I want to test the water, making sure I'm not going to get scalded or freeze. I want it just the right temperature. So those kinds of testing, that's a good test. And now if you get the sniffles, you go get a COVID test, right? To make sure you're not going to give it to everybody else. That's a good test to have. So a test really reveals what's there that you may not see otherwise, will reveal things that you wouldn't know otherwise. So if we're going to ask God to test us, what are we really asking him to do? Writer of Proverbs wrote, "The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart." All right, so if God's testing our heart, what is he testing about our hearts? In 1 Chronicles, David prayed, "I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity." See, some tests are pass or fail, kind of like the driver's test was. Some tests are to discover something, like testing the temperature of the water or the purity of silver. The prayer David prays, that I'm double dog daring you to pray this week, is asking God to test our hearts, to reveal our character and our integrity. In Psalm 26 that G read this morning, David prayed, "Declare me innocent, O Lord, for I have acted with integrity." Are you that sure of yourself? "I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Put me on trial, Lord. Cross-examine me. Test my motives and my heart, for I am always aware of your unfailing love. And I have lived according to your truth." Can we say amen to that prayer? Can we say, "Yes, Lord, I say the same. Test me. Try me." That's pretty bold. God, I've acted with integrity. I've trusted you completely. I haven't wavered. Put me on trial. Cross-examine me. Test my motives, test my heart. Test me, Lord, and reveal the truth about me to me. Last week we prayed, "Search me." In effect, saying, "God, dig down into our hearts and reveal the truth to us. The junk and the treasures. The junk so we can get rid of it, and the treasures so we can mine them." This week we pray, "Test me. God, make sure I am where you want me to be. Test my motive. Check my integrity. Test my faith." But man, praying test me, it scares me. Be honest with you. Sometimes I don't really like what God reveals to me about me. Do I really want God to test me? See, I don't think I'm as brave as David was to pray, "Put me on trial, Lord. Cross-examine me. Test my motives and my heart. I'm always aware of your unfailing love, and I have lived according to your truth." Oh, yeah, I want to. But when he tests us, he's going to reveal the truth to us. So I double dog dare us. Yeah, I'm in it too. I double dog dare us to pray, "Test me." But you know, in Psalm 139, David doesn't stop with just "test me." He says, "Test me and know my anxious thoughts." I find that funny because the test is what makes me anxious. "Test me and know my anxious thoughts." I don't know if it's because of COVID. I don't know if COVID just revealed what was already just lying under the surface. But anxiety seems to be in an abundance these days. Everywhere I go, people are talking about their anxiety levels. COVID revealed that we really have no control over a lot of things we thought we had control over. We were delusional, thinking we had control over a whole lot of things. People who thought they were secure in their jobs one week feared that they would lose their jobs a week or so later. Health, which seemed to be so good, all of a sudden seemed to be threatened. And people we knew were dying or almost dying. Our world was thrown into turmoil. And now inflation goes up, stock market goes down, gas prices are crazy. And we realize that most parts of our life, we really have no control over. And lack of control throws a lot of people into a panic. And anxiety seeps in. What if this? What if that? That's where the serenity prayer is beneficial. "Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." When we know we have no control over it, we can let it go. COVID expanded our realization there's a whole lot more things that we have no control over than we ever believed. There's a lot of things that we just can't change. A lot of things we have no power over. So then we have two choices. When we have no power, everything's out of our control, we can either worry or we can put our faith in God. Because though we can't change things, we can trust God. And we can trust that he can change things. And we can trust that he can get us through things that we might not think we can get through. Here's where it gets difficult. In our humanness. Well, let me talk about something I know. In my humanness. I want God to do what I want him to do when I want him to do it the way I want him to do it. I know you all don't deal with that, but I do. And I have no control in reality. Do I trust God even when everything's going in the opposite direction of what I wanted and expected? Could I trust God in the midst of what Job was going through? Could I trust God if he asked me to sacrifice that which meant the most to me. Oh, he's not. Don't get me wrong. God is not asking us to sacrifice our children. But he is asking us to give him first place in our lives. Because when he has first place in our lives, our children and our spouses and everyone else benefits from it. He does ask us to make sacrifices. Are we willing to make those sacrifices? Are we willing to really trust God? Do we trust God, or do we worry? When we pray, test me and know my anxious thoughts, we're saying, God, test me and reveal the places in my life that I am worrying instead of trusting you. Jesus, in his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning at verse 25, says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Any of you worrying already? What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear, is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus is saying, don't worry about the basics of life. What we eat, what we drink, what we wear. If God provides for the birds, though they do not do anything to earn their food, can't we trust him to provide for us? Jesus is not saying don't work. He's saying don't worry. Trust God. He will take care of you. What good does worrying really do anyway? Worrying won't put food on the table. Now, some people would ask the question, what about the people around this world who are starving? Why isn't God providing for them? I'm going to tell you what I believe about that. That's a people problem, not a God problem. That's a problem because we produce enough food to feed all the people in this world. But politics and greed and war keep food from getting to the people that need it. But that's a whole nother sermon another time. And once again, worrying won't change any of that. Worrying about it won't change it. Maybe we can get active about making changes. But worrying doesn't do any good. Worrying pre-plans a reaction to something that may or may not happen. When we worry about something, most of the time it doesn't even happen. And when we worry about it, we experience it as if it was happening right now, though it's something we're worried about happening in the future. So our body experiences it now, and then it never happens. So we put a strain on our bodies that it didn't need. And if it does happen, I've experienced it now, and I'm going to experience it again when it does happen. So I've put the double load on my body of dealing with something I'm worrying about that by worrying I can do nothing about. But if I trust God, I can know He can either take care of it or bring me through it. See, worry is the opposite of faith. It's too bad. You know, on my watch, I can check and see what my heart rate is. That's kind of cool to see what's going on with my heart at the time. Wouldn't it be cool if on your watch you could look and see what your anxiety level is? Woo, man, it's jumping right now. Yeah. We don't have that. So we say, test me, God. Test me. Reveal my anxious thoughts. And I think there's a lot of things that David could have said, God, test me on. But he said, test me and know my anxious thoughts. And I believe that our anxious thoughts or worry are what really reveal our lack of faith in God. So he's saying, reveal my anxious thoughts. Reveal the places where I'm not trusting you. Birds don't worry. Birds just do what birds do. They fly around and they find food. They trust God to provide. Flowers of the field, they're not comparing their outfits to someone else's. They're not looking and saying, oh, yeah, look, I'm a daisy. I look a whole lot better than a dandelion. No, they just do what God gave them to do. They just reveal His glory for a season. God just wants us to trust Him and be the people He created and called us to be. And we're different, just like a dandelion and a daisy are different. Just like all the birds of the air are different. But He created us to be us. Not to compare to others. Not get all anxious about everything. But to trust Him. I want you to hear. God loves you more than you can even imagine. And He created you to be you. So be you. As I've heard it said, everybody else is already taken, so you might as well just be you. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. Do everything you can to change the things that need to change. But trust God to take care of the things that you can't. So this morning, I double dog dare you to pray this week. Lord, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Test me and reveal to me the places where I'm not trusting you. Test me and reveal the truth to me. Purify me. And this morning, like we did last week, and like we're going to do in the next few weeks, I want to ask all of you to come forward, and we're going to pray together up here. Does it make a difference whether we're up here or back there? No. But I just want us to make this effort of standing up and coming forward and praying. Here's what I want you to do, though. I don't know where you left it. It might have been at the door. It might have been in the parking lot. It might be sitting next to you. But all those worries, all those cares, all that junk you've been carrying all week, bring it up here with you. And just drop it. Just drop it. And then don't pick it back up when you leave. I want you to drop it and leave it. Ask God, test me. And know my anxious thoughts. And let me leave those anxious thoughts here with you, God. And then walk out of here being a whole lot lighter than you were when you came in. So if you would, let's stand. Let's come up and let's just pray together. God, we come into your presence this morning. Because you invite us to. Not because we're worthy, not because we're special, but because you invite us to come because you love us. Well, we're special because we're your children and you created us and you love us. but not special in our own right. But Lord, we end up carrying a bunch of junk with us. We worry about things we don't need to be worrying about. And Lord, this morning we are praying, test us and know our anxious thoughts. Lord, increase our faith and decrease our worry. Increase our trust and decrease our anxiety. Search us, Lord, know our heart. Test us and know our anxious thoughts. Lord, cleanse us and bring us your peace, that peace that goes beyond anything we can even begin to understand. Lord, help us to leave those anxious thoughts, those things that are worrying us that we can't do anything about. Lord, help us just leave them right here and allow you to take them. May we walk out of here being lighter because we've left those things behind. And Lord, throughout this week, as we continue to pray, test us and know our anxious thoughts. Lord, reveal the places where we're spending a lot of energy worrying instead of trusting, worrying instead of praying. Lord, increase our ability to just trust you and let go of those things and put them in your hands. Lord, we want to live in the fullness of life that you have given us. Help us. Help us. We can only do that through the power of your Spirit working in us and through us. Lord, we praise you this morning. We thank you that you have set us free and you give us life. Have your way, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.